Podcast. I'm your host for the evening, Oliver Newman, author of A Fan's Perspective, 2016, What a Year to Be a Fan of WWE, and A Fan's Perspective, One Man's Exploration of British Wrestling. And I'm here with the show stealer, Nick Davey.
Good evening.
And unfortunately, Chris Lapping can't join us tonight. He's obviously the host, and he does a tremendous job at doing so. Unfortunately, he's not very well. So he's just recording in the background whilst me and Nick talk everything that's been going on this weekend. Nick, it's been a hell of a weekend, don't you think? And obviously, on tonight's edition, we're going to talk about New Japan Pro Wrestling's New Beginnings. So, what do you think about this weekend? Just off the cuff.
It's been an excellent weekend. Wrestling really has been really impressive weekend. Obviously very looking forward to discussing both NXT TakeOver and the Royal Rumble over the next couple of evenings. In short, very good weekend of wrestling, and certainly shapes up the next few months in the build up to WrestleMania extremely well.
Oh, absolutely. I'd like to say at this point that I cancelled my New Japan Pro Wrestling World subscription, thinking I had until the 1st of February. I don't think you do. I think it locks you out of your account straight away, which I'm gutted about, knowing that these New Beginning shows have taken place this past weekend. And obviously, I was getting into New Japan Pro Wrestling in a big way after Wrestle Kingdom 12. So that was unfortunate, but so I've only really got the results from the show. So major news coming out of New Japan is Minoru Suzuki defeated Hiroshi Tanahashi for the IC title. That was on night one of New Beginnings, and on night two of New Beginnings, the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team titles have changed hands again, as Roppongi 3K defeated the Young Bucks. And the absolute headline story coming out of New Japan is to do with the IWGP United States Heavyweight Championship, as Switchblade Jay White defeated champion Kenny Omega. But obviously that's huge news, but the absolute categorical huge news is the Bullet Club turning on Kenny Omega to end the show, and Golden Lovers reuniting as Kota Ibushi and Kenny Omega fought off the Bullet Club to end the show. The news that's coming out today is that Kenny Omega wants to join with Kota Ibushi as the Golden Lovers from way back when in DDT Pro Wrestling in Japan, and he wants to change the world of professional wrestling with Kota Ibushi. And that's one of the main reasons why he didn't join WWE. And I know you're not really up on your Japanese wrestling, Nick, but what do you make of that news?
I'm obviously not going to act like I'm an expert, because I'm certainly not. But no, with Kenny Omega, obviously one of the biggest names in the wrestling industry, if not the biggest name in the wrestling industry, who's currently outside of WWE, which is just a personal opinion. But no, yeah, huge news. He's no longer in Bullet Club. I mean, obviously, when the news broke, obviously, being a fan, which I am, you obviously think, oh, hang on, the last member of, who got kicked out of Bullet Club is rocked up in WWE. So it's obviously the first one that comes into one's head. But no, what you're saying, obviously, about him and Ibushi there wanting to change the face of wrestling. It's I don't think him to WWE is going to happen anytime soon. But interesting news there, and obviously the Bullet Club, hopefully they're going to potentially recruit a new member. It'd be interesting to see who that could be. Big news, and obviously some big news there further down the card there as well in Japan.
You said about the Bullet Club possibly bringing in a new member, Nick. You know, we like to do a bit of fantasy booking on Broken But Glorious sometimes. Any idea who do you think it could be?
$1 million question. I would love it to be really outfield, but I'll go a bit outfield. Maybe Will Ospreay.
Okay, yeah, he's a member of the Chaos faction at the moment. Carry on.
No, I was just gonna say, yeah, like someone from that faction, so maybe sort of change over a bit. Like you obviously we see with some stables and promotions from time to time around in the wrestling world. But yeah, no, I think that'd be quite cool. Someone going from one promotion to a stable for another. Obviously, we had it in TNA when there was the big stable rivalries there. People kept going from sort of side to side here and then.
Yeah, the big talk is they were looking for two names to lead the Bullet Club if they could possibly get them. And from what's been said, there were serious talks about Hulk Hogan, which obviously would have changed the landscape of Japanese wrestling. And the other huge name that was mentioned was CM Punk. Those two names would be the ones to lead the Bullet Club to the next level, wouldn't they, Nick?
Absolutely. Sorry, I missed the last bit of that. Could you just repeat that, sorry?
Oh, well, I said that Hulk Hogan or CM Punk is kind of what's been said. The Bullet Club would kind of like to lead the faction into the, to the next level. That would those two individuals for everything they've done in wrestling.
I think Hulk Hogan's a bit of a... I don't agree with Hulk Hogan doing it. I know it's obviously the one of the biggest names you're ever going to get, but I still would have won that. But with on the other side of the thing, CM Punk would be the perfect fit. Obviously going back to his roots. I think Punk would be quality. I'd love to see that. Whether it's true or not, I don't know. I think that would tick all boxes. And yeah, it certainly would be huge news in the Ring of Honor. Sorry for Japan.
Yeah. Imagine a CM Punk led faction, going to war with WWE kind of thing. That would just be that'd be incredible, wouldn't it? With the backstory of how he left the company and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Spot on. It would be the two fingers up, so to speak, to WWE. Mm. I think, yeah, it would be class.
Yeah, so that's what's kind of been mentioned and stuff. And, I'd like to give a shout-out to Thomas Bruins and the latest Broken But Glorious Wrestling podcast interviewee. A fantastic interview last week, Chris Lappin. Did you have a chance to listen to it yourself, Nick?
I must admit I haven't been a bit busy, but no, certainly on my to-do list.
Yeah, it was really good. There was a first road story which had me laughing. He was involved in the Goldberg Brock Lesnar, stare down turned physical confrontation. Sorry. So, it's definitely well worth a listen. He's actually the promoter of a show that's going to involve a zombie princess, Jimmy Jacobs, as well. And that's coming up in February. So, this is an interview that's just had 500 listens, and we appreciate every single one of them here at BBGW Pod. So, thank you very much to the listeners for that. We really appreciate it.
Hey guys, this is the Project Thomas Brewington, and you are listening to the Broken But Glorious Podcast.
Any thoughts on the NXT awards that were given out on the pre-show, if you watch that at all? Because I know you're not one for pre-shows.
Yeah, I didn't watch the pre-show for NXT, but I saw one award, and that's it, and it was the match of the year went to Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate.
And well-deserved as well, wasn't it, Nick?
Absolutely, well, God, yeah, absolutely. Probably the best match in... probably the best match in the whole of WWE for the whole of... the whole of wrestling, for 2017. No, fully deserved. They, as I said, we said on the show countless of times how proud they did England. But the UK scene on notice... they did excellent that night, and fully deserved. Nice to get recognition for the match, and hopefully that's how they can both kick on and have even better 2018, the pair of them.
Oh, absolutely. Like I said, the match in at the UK tournament finals was really good, but the Chicago match took it to the next level, didn't it, really? It was just absolutely outstanding. Much like you, completely agree. It was the match of the year for NXT. It was the match of the year for WWE. It was brilliant. I'm not sure how it compares to the Japanese matches, because I've heard a lot of, you know, five-star matches and a six-star match between Kenny Omega and Kashika Okada and stuff. So, you know, there is alternatives and there is competition there, but much like yourself, we're two proud Brits, and they really put the UK scene on the map, and it was fantastic to see, especially for myself, you know, covering British wrestling in 2007, you know, to 2009. It wasn't as well publicised as it is now, and it wasn't as well respected as it is now. So it was fantastic to see that match happening on a global scale, and the Match of the Year award was exactly what they deserved. So you said you haven't seen the other awards.
No,
so,
I haven't actually, no.
Yeah, Aleister Black and Velveteen Dream won the Rivalry of the Year, sorry. And what do you think about that one, Nick?
Yeah, no, great rivalry, and obviously had an even better match at TakeOver. TakeOver of the Survivor Series weekend, TakeOver War Games. That was an incredible match. And also up there, that match also could have been obviously a very close contender, if not the runner-up to Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate as well. And again, I think both wrestlers have got big years to come at 2018. I think they'll both be having an eye, maybe even potentially both of them might hold the NXT title at some stage.
Yep, very well said. Look, you know, we've been waxing lyrical about this Aleister Black Velveteen Dream match. It was stunningly amazing, wasn't it? Really, you kind of didn't see it coming. Velveteen Dream being in the infancy of his career, Aleister Black obviously being a well-respected veteran in the European scene, but they meshed so well together, didn't they? And they produced so many stunning moments to go along with the match at NXT TakeOver War Games, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, no, I think you've hit the nail on the head there, to be honest.
Yeah, okay. And then the male competitor of the year was Aleister Black. Any complaints, Nick?
No. There is no complaints from me whatsoever. Absolutely no complaints. And with Aleister Black, as I say, he's obviously, I think, was he debuted on the WrestleMania the night, was the TakeOver on the WrestleMania weekend in Texas?
I believe so. Well, I'm going to take your word for actually.
Yeah, I think it was. No, I'm pretty sure it was. And of course it was, because it was that weekend. And since then he's just cracked on. He's been brilliant. He's now getting more mic time. So I mean, WWE are really, really high on him. And I think, obviously, by the end of the year, I think he'll certainly hold the NXT title, but potentially he might even probably will be on the main roster by the time we go into the new year.
Yeah, I don't think I have a complaint about this, but if I'm correct, Johnny Gargano might have been up for this award, and Andrade Cien Almas as well, who has had an absolutely incredible end to 2017. So I don't have a complaint about Aleister Black winning it, but I wonder vote percentage wise what the difference was between those three men. So that's an interesting one to me. Breakout star of the year was that man again, Aleister Black. What do you think, Nick?
Just copy and paste the comments I just said before. Like I say, he's obviously fought very hard in WWE. What he's done has been excellent this year from debut one, but obviously with Aleister Black to what Tommy End is known in the indie scene. I was a huge, huge fan when I used to go and watch when I've seen him wrestle over the things, so over the years. And it was really good to see him obviously have his almost his final match as Tommy End against Neville back in January last year. Blackpool.
Yeah.
the debut again. Obviously, it has Aleister Black, and I think the gimmick's done really well. He's a quality character, and so every match he's had on TakeOver has been excellent.
Was you at the Progress show the night before?
No, that was in Birmingham, though, wasn't it?
Oh, it was in Birmingham, okay.
And yeah. He had a match against Jimmy Havoc that night. Mm.
Like I said, it was on the same day. Oh,
it
was on the same day? Oh, okay. So he travelled up to Blackpool. Well, that's amazing. Amazing, isn't it, really? The female competitor of the year and the overall competitor of the year, Asuka. What do you think, Nick?
Yeah, well, undefeated still. Can't argue with that. I really can't argue Oscar. Excellent match again. Every match she had on TakeOver was excellent. I really loved her match against Ember Moon at the SummerSlam TakeOver weekend, which would obviously have been when they were in Los Angeles. Brooklyn, New York.
Need to get in that DeLorean, Nick.
Yeah. No, that was my favourite personal Oscar match of the year against Ember Moon back at the TakeOver in Brooklyn. No complaints at all of Oscar. But I'd like to say Ember Moon probably must hopefully be a number two there.
Yeah. We wasn't worried if you was complaining about Asuka. We just need to know if you're ready for Asuka, Nick.
Nobody is.
Yeah, I don't think so. But the tag team of the year was Sanity. What do you think?
Yeah, I think again we're spoiled for choice here. Sanity, obviously the Authors of Pain and the Undisputed Era, all three of them have been absolutely brilliant. Sanity, love them obviously as champions. And I love them being champions. I think they've had some epic matches over the year, and I think all of them they're probably closest. I would not be surprised if they end up on the main roster. Maybe them or the Authors of Pain over the WrestleMania weekend on Raw or SmackDown when they obviously have the Superstar Shake-Up. As I think all of them are excellent, and they look like they could all like. So with all of them going to the main roster, I think they could all add something as well. I think if you have Alexander Wolfe and Killian Dane, they could go into the tag team. Eric Young could potentially go for a mid-card or even one of the main belts. And then obviously Nikki Cross can add a bit to one of the women's divisions on either brand. And so I think they could be potentially ready to go up to the main roster.
Eric Young could go after US champion Bobby Roode's title. Yeah. Team Canada explodes, Nick.
That's it. No, you could well have that. Or, as I say, even if you want to dream a bit higher, he could even go after WWE Universal title as well.
Yeah, I remember from a Sanity perspective when they went after Ty Dillinger, and that involved No Way Jose and Cassius Ohno. It's brilliant how that a one-on-one feud led to like tag matches and a six-man tag, and then I think Nikki Cross was involved in that. And then if you add to that the tag team titles and the fact that they've been in the gel keeping it all together for the longest time is probably the reason why the tag team of the year, and like you said, thoroughly deserved.
And I think also Wolf and Dane especially, I think both of them have got even better in the ring. And they've really improved as well. I think they can hold their own. They're actually looking like very, very, very good wrestlers now as well.
Well, I saw Alexander Wolf against American Alpha, NXT Liverpool in 2016, and I was really impressed with how good he was in the ring. It wasn't just American Alpha looking really good. They made their opponents look really good, and then once he was given this opportunity, he's obviously ran with the ball, hasn't he? So, it's fantastic for them. Takeover of the year, to no one's great surprise, the winners, NXT Takeover War Games.
Yeah.
That was a fantastic show, wasn't it, Nick?
Well, yeah, no, it was. We've obviously discussed that on the show before. Nick, you won our NXT Takeover War Games, but yeah. But to be fair to all the takeovers, I mean, you never really get matches where you go, oh, that wasn't great. And I think that just says it all about how good NXT is, but also it says about how safe WWE is in hands of as well.
Oh, absolutely. And the really interesting one for me, I don't know how it's going to be for you, so we'll just say what the award is. It's the future star of NXT, and it's Cesar Bononi.
Yeah.
And I'm, at this moment in time, I'm just thinking a lot of Brazilians voted in this, really. Considering who's going up against, I think one of them, once again, was Johnny Gargano. I'm not sure how he won this award, with all due respect to the man. He's had some impressive wins against, you know, NXT champion Andrade Cien Almas. He got, you know, a couple of upset wins against him, didn't he? So I don't want to disrespect him in any way, but I just thought this award was out of left field, really, for the winner. I'm guessing you think the same, Nick.
Yeah, well, yeah, 100%. Yeah, they're definitely what I didn't expect to hear, but hey, I...
He's, you know, in terms of a, you know, superstar, he looks like a superstar. He's in his infancy in NXT. Maybe he is, but I think the competitors he was going against, I'm really surprised the award went to him. But yeah, fair play to him, and hopefully he proves me and you wrong, Nick, and has a fantastic career in NXT and WWE, and we truly hope he does.
Hi, this is Dave Mercy, owner of Pro Wrestling Chaos, and you're listening to Broken But Glorious.
Just for this moment in time and stuff, as we've got a quick little break, just your thoughts on Raw 25, Nick. Is there anything you want to share about the show?
No, I mean, I think I expected better, but then I think, to be fair to WWE, they can't really change storylines around drastically with the Royal Rumble looming. But no, I think some of it was great, some of it was a bit underwhelming, but no, the best of it, the Miz Reigns match was really good, really happy that Miz won the belt back, great to see, and that was my favourite part, and obviously I love the opening with Stone Cold Stunners as well, rolling back the years.
Definitely.
Really good to see. But yeah, no, I think overall I was a bit underwhelmed by it. But then thinking about it, they can't really do an awful lot different to, say, change it, to obviously change storylines and everything just for the sake of one episode.
I haven't seen it myself. Maybe I'll share my opinion when it's on the network in the you know, the days and weeks to come. But I think that the one thing that jumped out at me was the Revival versus Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows. That was my only complaint with the show, really. I understand nostalgia and you know, wanting to do something completely different and obviously giving back to the fans who've watched for 25 years and the Attitude Era and all the things meshing together. But, you know, I've heard this was a two-minute match, and I've seen the ending because of obviously watching the Rumble, which we'll talk about tomorrow night. Just the fact that it went 2 minutes and it kind of went against them in such a powerful fashion after they were introduced as pro wrestlers the week before, which was a really good restart for the team. Really kind of got my back up a little bit, really. But apart from that, like you said, great that Miz is the IC champion again. You know, hopefully he can carry on doing what he's been doing for the last year and a half, you know, making the IC title as relevant as it can be. And, yeah, you know, it's great to see a show from the Manhattan Center as it was in 1993. And
yeah, I hope you've enjoyed hearing my New Japan Pro Wrest thoughts. And once again, this is Oliver Newman of Broken But Glorious Wrestling Podcast, and author of A Fan's Perspective, 2016, What a Year to Be a Fan of WWE, sorry, and A Fan's Perspective, One Man's Exploration of British Wrestling.